We will start today with one little mantra which I learned when I visited the temple in Nandagaon. There, after you climb up a flight of stairs, you enter the temple and you have a wonderful darshan. And when you come out of the temple, you sit on the footsteps of the temple, you know, outside before the big door, and you become a little mindful and you chant the sacred mantra Ram. Thank you. So I thought, let us start with Ram and end with Ram. This Ram stands for Balaram. I will chant it, lead the chanting, and then you please join me. Can you all feel what a powerful sound vibration this is? It is surprising, no? Our consciousness responds to these sound vibrations very nice. When you chant the holy names, you are actually in contact with a Anuradha is, Vrinda Anuradha is nervous today. When you chant the holy name, the sound vibration of the holy name has a similarly profound effect on the consciousness. And if you do this for a longer time, let us say 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, your consciousness transforms. It takes a new form. This regular chanting can be compared with a little drop of water that drops down from the ceiling of a cave. It comes to the ground, and there the minerals in the drop of water, they begin to pile up and they build a very beautiful stalagmite that grows up. So when you chant every day the holy names, you will have a similar experience. The effect will accumulate. It will build upon each other, and there will be a wonderful appearance of your spiritual identity, really. It goes naturally. What is not included in this example is that when you chant like this, it's not that something new appears. Speaking about transformation, my dear everyone, you don't import anything, but what is already there is just manifesting. The German philosopher Nietzsche has expressed it very nicely. Have you heard about Friedrich Nietzsche?
Yes.
You have heard in Slovenia. Good, good, good. He is known for having said things like, oops, God is dead. Nietzsche. Then there's the Lord has responded, Nietzsche is dead, God. So he cannot be taken so very serious, in other words. But something which he quoted is very profound. He said, become who you are. All of us are already eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. And the process of Krishna consciousness is just meant to transform our mistaken sense of identity into the right identity, that is an eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So become who you are means really to grow into that self which is already there. The example which you could give is the caterpillar. When it grows from the, what is the word, gusenitsche? From the when the gusenitsche feels that biological drive to grow, it grows into a beautiful butterfly. And the butterfly is not really something new to the gusenitsche. The gusenitsche is the future butterfly. It only needs to go through the action, and it needs to be a little patient also. So, my dear everyone, you are already a blissful servant of God. You only need to be prepared to go through the art of transformation, and then you become what you are. Or let us give the example of a seed. In one sense, the seed is already the tree. It only needs to go through the action and have the patience to grow into the tree. And in the same way, all of us here need to go through the action of spiritual life and the patience and the conviction. Now, while this is going on, there are a couple of moldings. Molding means you shed your old skin, so to say, and grow to the next level. This is something which constantly goes on. And maybe this is the reason why some people are so afraid of change. We shed our old skin in the process of transformation. The old assumption of self which we have, the old idea, this is who I am, this is how I am, is changing. It's almost like the process of transformation is almost like walking up a staircase. With each step, you leave one level behind and go to the next level. Imagine you walk up a staircase and you say, I'm so afraid to leave the step number one to go to step number two. And I'm so afraid to go to even think of step number three. This, my dear everyone, is the situation of people who are not willing to enter the process of transformation because they are too afraid to leave the old self behind Therefore, they cannot walk the process of transformation. It's almost like someone who's afraid to walk up the staircase. He thinks, no, I have to leave level or staircase number one behind to go to level two, level three, and level four. This idea of transformation really then is to constantly leave, be prepared to leave the old, let us say, version of myself behind and enter into a new version. How do you lose your fear of transformation? Well, you always have to remember the goal. Just like someone who climbs up a staircase, he should always remember, I'm going to get to level two or three where I will meet my friend. So he's not afraid when he lifts his foot and moves on. He's in fact enthusiastic. So you are also enthusiastic when you are going through the process of transformation, as long as you remember the goal, as long as you remember where you will reach, as long as you remember who you are, then it is easy. Sometimes people ask me, well, if you speak of transformation, what really transforms? Is it my frisura which transforms? Or is it my dress which should change? No, transformation is an inner process. And what is transforming in the inner process is the ahankara, the ego. The Sanskrit word for ego is interesting. It is ahankara. The ahang means I and kara means to make. The ahankara is the eye maker. One day the eye maker makes you believe you are a child. Then the eye maker makes you believe you are a puberting teenager with many questions. Then the eye maker makes you believe you are a young man or young woman. Then the eye maker makes you believe that now you are a family man, you are a father or a mother. And then the eye maker produces many more such identities of you. There's a very famous story which I like to draw your attention to. It's the story of the princess. This princess celebrated her 18th birthday in the castle of her dynasty. And at the end of the day, she was seen dancing with the prince of the neighboring country. The princess was over the moon. When she went to her sleeping room, it was already 2 o'clock in the morning. She lay down in her bed, and all of a sudden she heard a voice. "Who are you?" It was 2 o'clock in the morning. She jumped out of her bed. She ran to the place where she had her sword, and she started to look for the person who had asked this question, "Who are you?" She looked behind the curtains. She looked under her bed. And finally she said, Who are you? Who's asking me, who are you?" And the voice said, "I'm yourself." "Nonsense! I am myself." The voice answered, "No, princess, what you think is yourself is just one of the many masks which you are wearing. My dear everyone, this was before Corona. The mask was a complete mask, not just half a mask. The person you think you are is only one of the many masks which you are wearing. The princess was shocked. The voice said, "I will not give any peace unless you are able to answer this question. Who are you?" The princess was so disturbed. You can imagine it was her 18th birthday. She had danced with the prince of the neighboring country. She was ready to become the next queen. And here was this voice calling to her, "Who are you?" She ran out of the palace. She ran through the park. When she had finished, when she had come to the edge of the park, she continued running until finally she arrived at the place of her childhood where she used to play. It was a broken ruin. Do you call it ruin? Of a castle? Is it the word ruin? In Slovenian language we say? Ruševina. Ruševina. Yes, that sounds correct. But it was broken down. It was not a good castle. She fell into a nervous sleep. And in her sleep she saw that the ruin, where she was just kind of leaning against, had become a tower, and she could, you know, she was dreaming, she could look inside the tower, and there, on the foot, or at the beginning of a huge stairway that led up, she could see someone crying, and when she looked closer, she could see it was her, it was herself that was bound with a golden chain to an iron ball. And she was crying. And she, her dream self, looked out of the dream into her eyes and said, "Let me free. Finally, let me free." Woke up with a start. And it was already morning, the sun had risen. As she was sitting there thinking about the events of the last night, the voice in the castle who said, "Who are you?" And then this dream of a person inside a tower who was identical with herself, who said, "Let me free." She was really upset. This is only the beginning of our story. As she looked, she saw that an old man was coming towards her. The old man was dressed like Gandalf, in case you know him. It was an old sadhu with white hair, white beard. And the old man asked her, "Oh, princess, have you heard the calling, 'Who are you?' and 'Let me free?'" She said, "What is it to you? Who are you? Why are you asking me these bewildering questions? I'm not in a Hare Krishna temple. You know, this is not fair to..." But she didn't say that. "I'm not in the Hare Krishna temple." You know, so the sadhu said, "Okay, you have heard the call. Come with me." I will ask you a question. And he brought her to a lake. And he asked her to look in the lake. And there in the shimmering waters, in the moving waters, she saw her beautiful face. And the sadhu said, "Do you think this is who you are, princess?" "Well," said the princess, "what else?" "And look closer." And as she looked closer into, you know, it was almost like looking into a mirror, she saw in the mirror of the lake a face which at the beginning looked very unfamiliar. It was a face of a jealous person. You know jealous in your language? Jealous means? You know, that when you are jealous, you're disturbed when someone has more likes than you on your Facebook. Or you are disturbed when they excel, when they are better in doing something than you. She saw her jealous face. "Do you want to be that?" asked the sadhu. "No, no." Then on that day, she saw many faces. Jealous, vain, the young girl who wanted to be liked by everyone. She saw the stressed young girl. She saw many masks of herself. And the sadhu requested her, "Let go of these faces. You only have to take it out of the lake with your hand." She did this. She put her hand in the lake, and there on her hand was her jealous face. "You let go of it." And she, I don't want to lose this page, but she blew her face away. Over the course of 3 months, about 1,821 faces were blown away by her. This is what happens in the process of transformation, my dear everyone. We are again and again losing the assumptions or the ideas we have about ourselves. And sometimes it's not easy. We thought we were so intelligent, but then we notice, my God, I repeat the same mistake again and again. We thought maybe we were so, let us say, brave, but then we find out, my God, I'm so afraid to go to the dentist. We lose one molding. Molding is like a skin over ourselves, again and again, like in this beautiful story. Finally, the day came where the sadhu said to her, "This time I don't want to, I will ask you one question. Who are you?" The princess remembered the question from her first night. "Tell me who you are when you look into the lake." So she went to the lake. She looked inside the lake, and she first saw she saw her own image. Looking at a young girl, but then the image started to move, and more masks came, more layers, more false selves. Finally, the sadhu asked, "Who are you?" She couldn't answer. She had seen so many layers. But then, by Krishna's mercy, I think, she remembered something that was laying back in the past. She remembered, "I am a servant of Krishna. I'm really his part. I belong to him. He is mine. I am meant to give him pleasure. And when she said it, I am the servant of Krishna, I am the part of Krishna, at that time she felt free. The sadhu said, congratulations, we have taken away all the masks which are covering your real self. Now you know who you are. Now start to live. My dear devotees, isn't that something which all of us can relate to? Have you ever stood before the mirror in the bathroom? You would say, yes, Maharaj, don't you? Do you think I don't brush my teeth? We stand every day before the mirror in the bathroom. At least two times, I think, a normal person brushes his teeth. So I want to give you a little exercise. When you have brushed your teeth and you have put your electrical or manual toothbrush to the side, stay a little bit longer before the mirror and ask the question, who are you? Who is standing in the mirror? I know one devotee person from London, I will not tell you his name, who told me once in confidence. He had been with a caretaker of another devotee who was having a difficult cancer, and this devotee eventually died from the cancer. And one day, this devotee came out of the bathroom and said, I don't know the person who looks back to me when I look in the mirror. We know our masks. We are expert in our masks. When we come home, we are the father. When we go in the weekend in the nature, we are an adventurer. When we go to school, we are a terrorized school kid who's afraid of examinations. When we go into our car and we have to drive, we are nervous because we are not good in heavy traffic. We know so many parts of ourselves, but do we know the person who is wearing all these masks? We all come out of the corona crisis, and maybe you are like me. I have about 5 or 7 old masks in the room where I stay. They were worn one time, two times, so I kept them because I thought they are good for another airport, you know. So in the same way as someone may have many masks at home, we are using our many identities, our many identifications, I wanted to say. But we don't really know who we are until we are ready to go through the process of transformation. The transformation which will show the real I, the real me, and the real mine. You know that we were a few weeks ago, we were in Italy and visited the mountain Laverna. Laverna is a mountain that was gifted to Saint Francis of Assisi, the famous saint. And he would go there for a regular, for a time of about 40 weeks, and he would not 40 weeks, 40 days, he would go into a cave, and he would, in the cave, he would pray and he would meditate. And it is said at the end of his life, he only had one prayer. Please show me who I am. Who am I? And he had a second prayer also. And who are you? This is all he wanted to know. Who am I? And who are you? We visited the cave. It was a huge cave. I would say the cave he used to meditate in was easy the size of the of this temple room. Only the ceiling of the cave was much higher than this room. He preferred this large cave cage because then he could feel small, piccolo, he felt the soul is actually so small. Another personality who went through a process of transformation of the identity is Siddhartha. Have some of you read Siddhartha, the book of Hermann Hesse? A few, maybe 10. I tell you briefly this story. It's a story of transformation. Siddhartha grew up as the son of a Brahmin, a priest, and when he noticed his father would do every day the same things, he would say the same prayers, he would go through the same rituals, and he thought, this is not the life I want to lead. Therefore, as a young man, he left home in search of his true self. When he left his father's home, he saw a group of wandering monks, and he joined this group. From there, the transformation started coming. Siddhartha undergoes a series of metaphorical deaths and rebirths. He dies to the life of a young Brahmin when he leaves home and becomes a wandering monk. He dies to the life of a wandering monk to become a worldly merchant who loves a prostitute. Then he dies to the life of a worldly life and becomes an apprentice of a ferryman. Do you know a ferryman, what it is in Slovenian language? Huh? Flavara? Yes, this sounds very good. Splavarsky. Oh, yeah. So he becomes, he learns from a ferryman, a Splavava, and there he learns to listen to the river. You know, he sits there and sees the waves coming, and he understands as he that the waves represent the many aspects and many facets of life, and he understands underneath it all there is a spiritual reality. This is a story of transformation where you die to the old self, to the old illusory identity, and you wake up into a new, only to shed it again. Nietzsche would say, die as soon as you can, so that you can come to life again, like a morning flash, or like the spring after a brutally cold winter. I think in Slovenia, I remember the winters in Ljubljana. Ooh, they are not winters for beginners. They are... You remember these foggy late mornings where it's so cold that the worst thing you can imagine is to get out of your bed and go into the frustrating cold a place to work or so on. So, but then comes spring. After the brutal winter comes spring. So, in the same way as these personalities, you and all of us should wake up to our identity, our natural identity. I remember meeting my spiritual master the last time. It was in London. He had been already ill in India for a few months, but he had nevertheless decided to go one more time to the West, most probably to encourage all his Western disciples. So he had come to London, and we had come with a group of devotees from Germany, and we were granted a private audience. When we went into the room where Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, sat, he looked different. He was sitting on a rocking chair, and his face and his body was very thin. You could almost look through his hand. It was so transparent. And he looked at us. We were only a group of five or maximum six people, and he asked in his deep voice, "So, have you understood Krishna consciousness?" What he said was, "Have you understood our philosophy?" Now, when your spiritual master asked this from you, when your teacher asked you, "So, have you understood?" you better be careful what you answer. So I always say the wrong thing when I'm asked something in an exam, and so I did not say anything. But the others, they gave many, they made many tries, but Prabhupada was not satisfied. He said, "First of all, you need to understand who you are. You need to understand that you are," well, he didn't say a German. He didn't understand that you are young. He didn't say, "You need to understand that you are a young man." He said, "You need to understand that you are an eternal self, the eternal soul." My dear everyone, this is what transformation means, to give up your false assumption of who you are, to shed the masks like in our princess story, and to arrive at the real I, and the real me, and the real mine. I, me, and mine. And that's an eternal soul. There is one mantra which Prabhupada speaks about this. Soham. These Vedic words, soham, are there to indicate that qualitatively I'm as good as God. Can we say this? Soham.
Soham.
Yeah. And these words, Vedic words, are meant to indicate that qualitatively I'm as good as God. I'm a spirit soul. He is a spirit, and I am also a spirit soul. He has got creative power, and I have also got creative power. So this understanding, my dear everyone, is at the root of the art of transformation. When you start with your transformation, you begin with a sense of your ego that is rooted in illusion. Then you you develop more and more. You shed the ignorance, and somehow you begin to understand that you are a spirit soul residing in the on the seat of consciousness in the heart, and that you are a servant of Krishna. To end this, I would like to tell you the story of Bandhu. Bandhu was a young boy who lost both of his parents when he was about 7 years old. So, because there was no one in the village who was rich enough to adopt him and care for him, give him food and cloth, little Bandhu, went to Navadvip. And in Navadvip he understood there's only one person who can take care of you. His name is
Krishna.
Krishna. Yes, God. So Bandhu started to ask everyone on the road, where is God? And the people, I don't know what you will do when you are going through Ljubljana and the little boy comes up to you and asks you, where is God? I mean, if you are Hare Krishna, you would say, go in the temple. You find him there. But most of us are not Hare Krishnas. Where is God? The people were just thinking, he's crazy, he's thinking too much, this little boy. But one person said, I have heard that God lives in Vrindavan. So Bandhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. The person also said, you can't go alone there, it's 3,000 kilometers. Wait until a group of pilgrim goes on pilgrimage to Vrindavan. Maybe they take you along. So Bandhu found one day a group of pilgrims and said he wanted to meet Krishna and he wanted to go for that reason to Vrindavan. So the pilgrim leader was a nice man. He said, Bandhu, come along with us, we take care of you. When Bandhu arrived in Vrindavan, he asked everyone on the street, where is Krishna? And they said, Bandhu, it's not so easy to meet Krishna. You have to learn first under a spiritual master how to purify yourself. And then when you are in your pure identity, you can meet God face to face. So Bandhu, my God, is it loud here? I think the young lions are let loose. They have come out of the children's room and they are now roaming before the temple. So you have to learn from a spiritual master to become qualified to meet Krishna. So Bandhu went to a spiritual master. He was trained under him, and every day Bandhu would go out with the cows from his spiritual master to the river Jamuna. Now one day, it was afternoon, maybe 5 o'clock, he saw on the other bank of the Yamuna a dust cloud. Manditangi, yes, but be kind to the children. I will tell them the story. So he saw a dust cloud, so he went over the Yamuna, it was sometimes only this deep, and as the dust cloud came closer, he could see the dust was raised by the hooves of an enormous herd of cows. And then he heard amongst all the cows the sound of a flute playing. This flute was soon joined by other flutes. And then there was a whole flute concert. At the end of it, he saw a group of shining young boys dancing and playing flute, and then the vision disappeared. Pandu was intrigued. He came back the next day to the same spot, and again he saw that enormous cow herd or herd of cows. And when he went over the Yamuna, he again heard the flutes, and this time he could see the group of the shining young boys a little bit clearer. He could actually discover within them one blackish boy with a beautiful turban and a whitish boy, and they were shining, and at one time they looked at him, but then like a flash, everything was gone. Pandu became intrigued. He went the next day also, and again he saw this massive herd of cows, and this time the black boy came close to him and said, "I'm hungry. Do you have something to eat?" And Pandu said, "Yeah, something I have." And he had one old chapati, and he gave that old chapati to the young boy. And when he gave it in his hand, the vision disappeared. Pandu came every day, and every day he could see a little bit more of this big group of cows who were herded by the shining beings. And every day he spoke a little bit more to the black boy, until he asked him one day, "What's your name?" The black boy smiled and said, "You can call me Syam, the black one. And him, this is my older brother, you can call him Ram." Oh. One day, this went on for a few months, Syam said to Pandu, "Tomorrow Radharani will cook for all of us. So you should bring a bullock cart, and on the bullock cart you should have potatoes, ghee, milk, rice, and so on. Will you do this for me?" And Pandu said yes. So he went home to his spiritual master, and the wife of the spiritual master, and said, "Tomorrow I need a whole load of sugar, rice, milk, potatoes, cabbage." Cabbage, when I hear the word cabbage. Prince Philip used to call Queen Elizabeth cabbage head. Yeah. Affectionately, this was private. Private. So I always have to smile. You know, this is smiling. This is so. But out of affection, out of love, husband and wife, not for us, we should not call. So, but I remember this when I say cabbage. The guru said, "Well, Pandu is such a good boy. Maybe some people want to take advantage of him, and want to take all these things." Then the wife of the guru said, "Why don't you go with Pandu?" Guru said, okay, I come along, Bandhu. So the Guru went with Bandhu in the ox cart and all the things, and they came to the part of the Yamuna, and Bandhu waited, and all of a sudden he said, can you see it? There they are coming. Syam and Ram are coming. And the Guru looked, what, where? Like, I see the other bank of the Yamuna, but I see no cows. No, no, they are coming, said Bandhu, and he became restless and joyful. He ran through the Yamuna, remember it was very, very shallow water, and he ran and he called out, Syam, Syam, Ram, Ram. And the Guru didn't see anything, but he went after Bandhu, who was totally ecstatic by now, who danced and who laughed and who cried. Finally, the Guru, who was an old man, started to run also because he was concerned for Bandhu. He had never seen such a thing. So he ran and ran, and then he didn't look. But there was a big rock like this, and he went with his foot on the rock and he fell. At that moment, Krishna thought, he is the Guru of my Bandhu. He is falling. And within seconds, Krishna was there and caught the old man. And for a fraction of a second, the old man, the Guru, could look into Krishna's eyes. This was the mercy of Bandhu, who had given him a darshan of Krishna. The Guru became so ecstatic, he totally became overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy. And in the evening, Bandhu came back. The Guru was lying on top of the box, the ox cart, and Bandhu brought him home. And the wife of the Guru said, what happened? And Bandhu said, Guru Maharaj saw today Syam and Ram. So I like to tell you this story. Bandhu had one qualification. And if you have this qualification, you will certainly purify yourself. You will go through the transformation that is required. You will shed your masks, which you do not need. And you will actually one day see Krishna. The qualification which Bandhu had was, he was eager, he was willing, he wanted this. It was his greatest project. The desire was like a seed, and it grew and grew and grew and grew until it took the form of a large tree. In the same way, if you come and associate with the devotees, if you continue your spiritual practice, your desire, your seed of Krishna consciousness will grow and grow until you will also realize your true eternal identity, your spiritual identity as a part of Krishna. I wish you all the best, and let us think this lecture was something like a visit in the temple. So now we will go again, sit before the temple, and to conclude, we will chant the sacred syllable Ram. I will chant alone, and then you can join me. Please. Haribol. I wish you all the best in your transformational journey. Please don't become afraid of there will be some tests for all of us, but with Krishna's mercy it will be very, very easy. I want to read to you at the end a little text. When you are between the familiar and the completely unknown, there alone is our old world left behind, while we are not yet sure of the new existence. That's a good space where genuine newness can begin. Get there often and stay as long as you can by whatever means possible. This is the sacred space where the old world is able to fall apart and a bigger world is revealed. If we don't encounter this in-between space in our lives, we start idealizing normalcy. You know, that's the worst thing you can do, to idealize a normal life which is full of ignorance of the true self. The threshold, you know, this place in between, is God's waiting room. Here we are taught openness and patience as we come to expect an appointment with the divine doctor. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Now I will close this book for I think a few days. The notes in this book have guided us in our understanding of what is transformation and how we can do it. I would just leave you with a little thought. What can you do to start your own process of transformation in all seriousness? Where do you feel is an area in your life that needs to be changed? Where do you feel there is something, the next stage in your life that you need to go? And if you have identified it, then please take one of the spiritual practices which you have learned during the seminar or which you have learned while reading Prabhupada's books and do this practice fully conscientious, and you will actually expect miracles. My dear everyone, this is my farewell to all of you. I will wish you, I will say goodbye. Maybe another 3 years will come before I can see you. And I have a message. Some words in parting. Let this time which we spend together not be a wasted time. Let this time which we were together not be just something, okay, he came and he went, and in between he said Hare Krishna, and so on. Let this time be something that is a beginning, maybe, of a better life for you. A life where you, in all seriousness, work on your own transformation. You have now many informations. Our Vrinda Anuradha has a whole computer full of notes. Just like our Vrinda Anuradha needs to look at these notes again and then pick out one practice that she will do. And the same way, every one of you, please do one thing. Don't do three things or four things, because then you will end up doing nothing. Why do you laugh? This is the human fact. We can't do too much at once. We can't keep too many balls rotating in the air. Not possible. But we can, in seriousness, take to one practice, and then something will happen. I thank you very, very much. I will have to go now. We are Gokrishna and myself will go with Moksha Rupi and perhaps Manditangi, but perhaps not, because she has to take care of the young lions, the young children. We will go to Zagreb and we will fly to Bosnia. We have a program called Yoga is Music. We have already more than 200 guests registered. There will be a huge concert we will give, and then we will go to Split. We have nice programs arranged in Split, and from Split we will fly to India. Yeah. I mean, first Berlin and then India. Split is a small airport. We try to get an airplane, it will fall into the ocean. Hare Krishna. Good. So, all the best for you, and Hare Krishna, and please, let this not be a wasted 3 days. Let it be 3 days that were useful for your spiritual life. Hare Krishna.